Hello again, Stuart and Jody here. Welcome to all people within the church family at Carey and wider afield who are listening online. Just a little notice at the beginning. You often have notices at the beginning of services. Because it's the first Sunday of the month, we usually celebrate Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper at Carey Baptist Church here in Moulton. So we're going to be doing that online. So if you'd like to press pause and go and get some bread and some wine or some juice, if you want to celebrate communion with us, then you're very welcome. So press pause now and go and get that. I'll just say a prayer before Jody comes to do our reading. Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering to worship you, even if we are in our homes. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would bless this worship, bless the reading of your word, bless the preaching of your word, bless the prayers and the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine, and minister and touch and bless each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jody's going to come and do the reading, which is Psalm 42. Psalm 42.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Day by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Amen. Thank you for the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that this word would speak into our lives and circumstances that we find ourselves in. Come, Holy Spirit, blow through the words of Scripture and through what I say, and minister to each one of us as we listen online. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's been much on my mind in recent weeks about thinking about returning to the church building and opening up the church building again. We've had deacons meetings and church meetings looking at this, and this Tuesday we're having a deacons meeting and we should be able to set a date to open the church in the coming weeks. When I was thinking about what to preach on this week, this psalm came into my mind, especially verse 4, which speaks of nostalgia for times past. It says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. It speaks of nostalgia for times past, for gathering in God's house, singing songs of praise and joy and thanksgiving. But the reality is, when we do go back into the church building, it won't be like that. There won't be a festive throng. There won't be songs and shouts of praise and joy and thanksgiving. We're not meant to shout or to sing. There'll be no singing. There'll be masks. There'll be a limited numbers of people socially distanced 2 meters from each other. There'll be no gathering before or gathering after the usual things that we enjoy to do. We can ask ourselves, how can we give thanks and praise in these limited circumstances? And how should we respond in these very limited circumstances we find ourselves in? The psalmist here offers us some guidelines. We've been thinking about guidelines for opening safely. Here's some guidelines from the psalmist. He mentions his desire for God, and that's where we should start, our desire for God. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? So we see here that the psalmist has a deep thirst and desire and hunger for God. And we should seek to cultivate that in our lives too. We don't need to go to church to encounter God. We can do that alone by ourselves. But there is something about when the people of God gather together, when we sing, when we pray, when we worship together, when we hear God's word together, there is something different than when we just gather alone. I certainly find it odd, preaching as I am doing at the moment to Jody and a computer screen in front of me. It's not the same as preaching to a congregation where you can see people's faces. You can see those that agree with you who nod, those that fall asleep, those that look angry at what you're saying, but at least you're getting some sort of human reaction from people's faces. It's, speaking to a screen is not like that. At the moment, we have this thirst and this desire to get back to gathering together as a church family. But it will be very different. And how will we deal and process the conflicting emotions we feel? We may be glad to be back in a familiar building, but it may feel strange to sit apart from our friends and not be able to engage with them in the same way that we usually do. And having masks on and not being able to sing, that will be very strange. We'll be glad to be back, but we will feel sad. And we'll feel sad for those who can't make it, who are still shielding, and those who have died in the last 4 months since we last gathered together. And one of the dangers we'll face will be nostalgia for the past. As the psalmist had nostalgia, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng, a nostalgia for going back to gathering together, to worshipping together. The psalmist is in exile, far from the temple. He's not able to go to the temple for worship. We don't know why that is the case, but we know he is not able. Maybe he's being persecuted. Maybe he's been exiled. We don't know all the circumstances. But we can feel in exile at the moment. The last 4 months have been in an exile in some ways, where we've been exiled from normality, from gathering together in our church buildings and having to worship online and in our homes. It has felt like an exile of sorts. And when we go back, there'll be a nostalgia for the past. We will remember in our imaginations full services when the building is full of people celebrating baptisms, or we think of the enrollment services for the Boys Brigade and the Girls Brigade when the church is chock-a-block, or we think of carol services when we have lots of visitors, or we think of the joyous celebrations of Easter. And we will remember these things in our minds when we go back, and we will make comparisons. And it's not good to compare, because comparison is the stealer of our joy when we compare our situation with other people's situation or what it was in the past. It will rob us of any joy that we can feel in the present. I like the New Revised Standard Version of verse 4, where it says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival." I like that idea of keeping festival. And I'm reminded at this time of year, as we into August, in a few weeks' time, we would normally have the Greenbelt Festival that I would go to each year. And that's been cancelled and is being online as well. And celebrating communion and worshipping together with 10,000 people, or spring harvest gatherings when you're worshipping with thousands of people in the big tent, praising God. These sorts of gatherings, we won't be able to do them for the foreseeable future. And we feel the loss of that, gathering together, worshipping together, praising God together. It's a grieving process, and we feel that loss. But there's a real danger in harking back to the past, thinking of a golden age that was in the past. The church is often guilty of this, thinking that things were better in the past, and that's not always the case. Our challenge at the moment is, how do we encounter God in the present, in the now? Because that's the only place we can encounter God. We can't encounter God now in the past, of what we did in the past, or in the future, because we're not there yet. But we can encounter God in the circumstances we find ourselves in the now. He is still the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. And what has he to say to us in our present circumstances? What can we learn about how to worship him in the limitations that we face? I'm reminded of the song by Matt Redman, Heart of Worship, which the birth of that song was with the church community. They'd got so caught up in worshiping God by the wonderful music that they had and the songs that they'd forgotten about what it was about. They got caught up in the trappings. And Mike Pilavachi, the pastor there at the church, the Soul Survivor Church in Watford, decided that they would strip everything back. And they got rid of all the instruments and the singing. And they used to just meet in silence and to wait upon God together. Eventually, they went back to singing with the songs and the guitars and the drums and all the music, etc. But only after they discovered what worship was all about. And in that song, Matt Redman says, "The heart of worship, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing we've made it. We've made it into a product, a consumer item, when it's all about you." And we have to realize that worship is not a product, a thing, or an it. But worship is a relationship with a personal God, and it's all about Jesus. So maybe we can rediscover something of that when we're stripped back to the bare essentials of just gathering together in God's presence. But it is a very difficult time. It's a time when a lot of us feel downcast and disturbed, depressed, as the psalmist says in verse 5 and verse 11, he repeats it. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." A recipe for our depression, for our downcast and disturbed spirit, is to hope in God. We will yet praise him. Hope expresses a certainty of outcome. It believes in the promises of God. It's not wishful thinking or wish fulfillment. I hope things will get better. But it is a hope in God and his promises. Hope means a patient but expectant waiting for God to act. We may be in this season for a while. Who knows how long this is going to last with the social distancing, with the masks, with the lack of singing, until we get a vaccine. But that might be a while. It might be a long while. But God is at work, and he will bring us through this. We may never return to normal as it once was, but God is the God of the future as well as the present and the past, and we have hope in him for this life and the next. Even without singing together, we will praise him. We can praise him in our hearts, in our spirits. We can lift him up in our hearts, even if we can't shout out his name with our lips. The psalmist teaches us three important lessons that speak to us now in the peculiar circumstances we find ourselves in. He teaches us about the need to cultivate a desire for God, to thirst after him as we would thirst for water if we were thirsty, or thirst for food if we were hungry. We need to cultivate that desire for God. And he reminds us of the dangers of nostalgia when we look to the past and remember how things used to be when we went to church, when we gathered with the festive throng and sung songs of praise and thanksgiving. There's a danger in harking back to the past and forgetting that God is a God of the present and the future. And although we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, it's not as bad as a lot of people throughout the world who suffer for the faith. Think of those who are in prison camps in North Korea, those who are persecuted for their faith in Islamic countries, those who are imprisoned for their faith. And they can learn to praise God in their circumstances. We certainly can learn to praise God in the limitations that we face at the moment. And then we are taught the importance of hope in verse 5 and repeated again in verse 11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. We're taught to speak to ourselves, to speak to our souls, to tell ourselves to trust and to hope in God. We will yet praise God in the limited circumstances we find themselves. When these circumstances change, and in his presence forever in eternity. I like the quote by Jim Wallace from the Sojourners community in Washington, D.C., who talks about hope in these terms. Hope is believing in spite of the evidence and then watching the evidence change. So when we look at the evidence around us at the moment, it's easy to lose hope. But the evidence will change. God's purposes will be fulfilled. And we can put our trust and our hope in him, not in our government, not in the economy, not in our circumstances, but in God. So we need to relearn to place our hope in God in these times, because he is with us. He will carry us through this, and we will enjoy his presence and his bliss in eternity forever with him. And that is our ultimate hope. Let us pray. Father, we thirst and desire for you. We thirst and desire to gather together to worship you as your people. We're aware of the limitations that we face, and we pray that you will save us from the dangers of nostalgia, of looking back to the past and wishing we were there instead of enjoying you and worshipping you in the present, even if it places limitations upon ourselves. And help us to be a people of hope who place our hope in you and what you can and will do. And as we look around us, we can be disheartened, discouraged, downcast, disturbed. But we will yet again praise you, and we place our hope in you for the present and for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to celebrate Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, together. So if you don't have any bread and wine and you want to participate, press pause now and go and get some bread and wine or juice or the equivalent, and we'll celebrate together. Gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and the aching, who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, the done and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company found at your feast. Gather us in, the proud and pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the levelling found at your feast. Gather us in, the bright and the bustling, the stirrers, the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys found at your feast. Gather us in from corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet, to eat, to be given a seat, to be joined to the vine, to be offered new wine, become like the least, be found at the feast, gather us in. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and want to love him more. So come if you have much faith and if you have little, if you have been here often, or if you have not been for a long time, if you have tried to follow and if you have failed, come. Not because it is I who invite you, it is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Let's listen to the story of the Last Supper. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his friends, his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." Later, he took the cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and wine, the ordinary things of this world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so also. Let us pray. Loving God, we bring you gratitude, praise, and hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, and praises that you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we had lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we might be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. So now in gratitude, we join our voices to those of the church in earth and in heaven. And we say, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Lord God, as we come to share the riches of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world, and we are stewards of its nourishment. Lord, put our prosperity at the service of the poor. We cannot take wine and forget those who are thirsty. The ground and the rootless, the earth and all its weary people cry out for justice. Lord, put our fullness at the service of the empty. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war, or if not at war, then preparing for it. Show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the lust for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget our divisions. We are one in spirit, but not in fact. History and hurt still dismember us. Lord, heal our church in every brokenness. Amen. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." And later he took the cup of wine and said, This is a new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me. Look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. So we take the bread and we share it with each other. The body of Christ broken for you. Amen. And Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink this, do so in memory of me." So take your wine and drink and remember that all that Christ has done for you, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on and take us into your future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now Jill Halton, one of our church members, is going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we humble ourselves before you and ask you to receive our prayers. We pray for the state of the world we live in, the coronavirus affecting us all. We pray for the ones who have lost someone through this virus, and we pray that others will remain safe. We pray for people in poverty as the pandemic sweeps across the world. We put our trust and hope in you, Lord. We pray for those whose souls are downcast. Give them love and a song in their hearts. You are worthy to be praised, and we thank you for everything. We pray for those in our families and church families, that we will be able to gather soon and meet up, as we all miss the human contact in our lives. So we put our hope in you, God, and we will praise you, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Jill, for your prayers of intercession. We close now with a blessing. From where we are to where you need us, Jesus, now lead on. From the security of what we know to the adventure of what you reveal, Jesus, now lead on. To refashion the fabric of the world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom, Jesus, now lead on. Because good things have been prepared for those who love God, Jesus, now lead on. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thanks for spending this time with us in worship and in communion. And may God bless you and go well until we see you again. Amen.